the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. Good morning, Damian. And Karen and Jeff are in the controls this morning. It's a chilly solemnity of St. Joseph.
Yes, it is. But that's beautiful. Okay.
That's right.
Nothing wrong.
Doesn't matter
that.
How chilly it is. Yeah. It's a wonderful feast day. So today is the Solemnity of St. Joseph. It's also Franciscan Media's saint of the day is St. Salvatore of Orta. So we'll pray for the intercession of both St. Salvatore and St. Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that by St. Joseph's intercession, your church may constantly watch over the unfolding of the mysteries of human salvation, whose beginnings you entrusted to his faithful care. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, St. Joseph and St. Salvatore, pray for us. We have a great show for you on this chilly Monday morning. Sister Judy Golmilla joins us. She's going to talk about an upcoming Lenten morning of reflection hosted by the Missionaries of St. Therese. Then Damian will visit with author Daniel Markham. He's going to talk about his book, this sounds like an awesome book, 52 Masses, A Journey to Experience Catholicism Across America.
Yeah. Be an interesting story to hear.
He did some church hopping across the country.
Yeah.
Sounds like. Be great. Well, you know what? It's Alan Migliorato Monday. Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens today, joins us. And we'll talk a little bit about St. Joseph and fathers with Alan this morning. It's a surprise topic, so he doesn't know
it. Oh, he doesn't know?
He said to surprise him, okay. So that's my surprise for Alan. We'll also learn about nutrition for seniors in the Archdiocese of New Orleans when Heidi Garrity joins us. She is a registered dietitian for Pace GNO and Padua Community Services at Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese. So it is a full show on this kind of chilly morning.
Yes, it is a chilly morning, to say the least. Here it is, the first day of spring, and old man winter isn't ready to leave. And we're all hovering around freezing temperatures right now in the listening area. But that's going to really warm up pretty quickly. The sun's coming out, and we're going to have a high today of 60 degrees. Low should be around 40, 41 degrees tonight. Winds are pretty much calm, very light, so that's very helpful. We can handle the cold as long as those 15 and 20 mile an hour winds aren't blowing like they have been. No rain in the forecast. Tomorrow, the high is going to be 75. And then come Wednesday, 84 degrees. So it is going to warm up rather rapidly, and that's good news. Here are some temps in and around the area. Right at 32 degrees freezing, it's home at Thibodaux and Baton Rouge. The cool spot, or really cold spot, is Covington on the North Shore, 29 degrees right now. Over in Biloxi, it's 30. And New Orleans, they're I guess with all that cement and concrete, you know, that's in the Crescent City, 37 degrees already.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, so I don't even know if they hit freezing.
Oh, warming up there.
Anyway, there's your forecast. Should be really nice. Should see sun and some clouds mixed in the skies, but overall, really a nice forecast. And should get the week started off on the right foot. Don't go too far, because Sister Judy Golmilla is coming your way. We're going to hear about a special reflection event taking place in the New Orleans or Hanville area, I should say. It is already 5 after the hour on this Monday morning on Wake Up.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, I'm Father Chris Decker in a blessed solemnity of St. Joseph, who is the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Today's Gospel comes to us from Matthew, chapter 1. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took his wife into his home.
Thank you very much, Father Chris Decker. A beautiful scripture reading this morning. I love that reading about St. Joseph.
Yes.
And happy St. Joseph's Day to all you paisans out there. With us right now, Sister Judy Gomilla. She is here to talk about the upcoming event, Lenten Morning of Reflection. And it's hosted by the missionaries of St. Therese of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary in Hanville. Good morning, Sister, and welcome to Wake Up.
Good morning, Damien, and I am awake.
Oh, yes, you are. Alive and kicking on this spring morning. Tell us about...
Well, how about sitting at a kitchen table drinking coffee?
Well, you know, that's even better. You know, you got to get the juices flowing. And now, I know you're a native of New Orleans and a Maronite Sister of Holy Cross, but tell us a little bit about this special event taking place coming up, actually, on Thursday.
Right, Thursday the 23rd, the Missionary Rose Petals, an organization active in the Archdiocese since the 1940s, they really take the mission of St. Therese and make it their own. And what was selected for the topic for the day of Morning of Reflection is St. Therese and the Holy Face. That image many of us have seen in our churches or have holy cards. Because St. Therese, actually, we know about her as Therese of the Little Jesus, but the rest of her name that she selected was of the Child Jesus and the Holy Face. So at the Day of Reflection, we'll be getting a little bit up close and personal with her approach to the suffering Christ.
Can you share a little bit more about that? Because this is the first time I'm hearing about and the Holy Face. I mean, the connection and why, I guess, because she was just enamored with the beauty of Christ?
Well, I'm the same way, Damien, until I started doing a little more research. First of all, as a Maronite of Holy Cross, our founder, Blessed Basil Morrow, had devotion to the Holy Face. And that was my initial introduction as a young woman, as a young sister. But then in preparation for the event on Thursday, and the more I read about it, it was actually the parents of St. Therese, who themselves have been canonized since then, who had devotion to the Holy Face. And that devotion, now remember, we go back to Veronica, the station number 6, wiping the face of Jesus. But the devotion began in mid-1800s with a Sister Marie of Peter. And she had a mission from Jesus in a private apparition of wanting devotion to that Holy Face in reparation for sins of the time. The family of St. Therese had that devotion. They picked up the devotion at the time. So that's where Therese first learned about it in her household growing up.
Well,
and then when she entered the convent, what I read said she asked to be Therese of the Child Jesus, but the rest of the name is and of the Holy Face. I had never heard that before, so don't feel alone in not knowing it.
Yeah, because the minute I hear that, for some reason I think of the Infant of Prague. And, you know, the beautiful little baby face. And, you know, I have a devotion to the infant Jesus of Prague as well. But answers a lot of my prayers. But, hey, St. Anthony is my number one on my list.
Oh, listen, I'm from the Ninth Ward, New Orleans. St. Anthony, lost and found. Absolutely.
I knew it. I bet you. Now, tell me you're eating a few Fit cookies with that coffee this morning.
No, but I'm counting on them. Counting on getting some.
All right, all you Italians out there who maybe were able to go to a St. Joseph altar yesterday, Sister Judy's looking for some Fit cookies this morning. Where do they go to get them to you, Sister?
Her kitchen table.
Yeah, I know, but I don't want them to necessarily rest. Where can they drop them off? Should they? We're getting carried away here. All right, let's repeat one more time for our listeners, because this just sounds like it's going to be a fun event, and you as the guest speaker, I know you're going to make it entertaining, but also informative. Give us all the details one more time.
All right. It's being sponsored by the Missionaries of St. Therese. It's a Lenten morning of reflection, Thursday, March the 23rd. The topic will be St. Therese and the Holy Face. It's being sponsored through Holy Rosary Parish in Hornville, where Father Paul Clark is the pastor. Prayer and reflection is at 9:30. Father will celebrate Mass with us at 11. Of course, there's no charge for the spiritual part at all. Now, some of the ladies, I'm told, are going to the Ormond Plantation to eat after. So if they want more information about that, they would have to check in with Barbara Kenny or someone about the meal. But the actual prayer and reflection, the 23rd, Our Lady of Holy Rosary in Hornville, beginning at 9:30 with Mass at 11.
Awesome. And you are the... That covers it, and you are the featured speaker. And again, we thank you for being with us on Wake Up. It's been a pleasure chatting with you this morning. And again, happy St. Joseph's Day to you.
And thank you, Damien. God bless him to you and all.
Oh, thank you. God bless you as well. All right. So, sounds like a good event. There may be one, I think, another event real quick. Here in Baton Rouge, I want to give this a quick plug. St. Agnes Catholic Church, their Lenten Reflection Series continues this Wednesday. This is entitled "The Mass is Listening," okay? And Sister Marie Therese is going to be the guest speaker from St. Martinville. All right, 15 after on Wake Up. We're moving right along. You better hold on. We've got more coming your way in just a moment.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for March 20th. Today we celebrate Saint Salvatore of Orta. Born in Spain in 1520, Salvatore entered the Franciscans as a brother at 21. He intended a life of quiet service to his religious community as cook, porter, and beggar. During his regular begging rounds, he began healing the sick he encountered, blessing them with the sign of the cross. News spread, and sick people began flocking to the friary to see Salvatore. He was transferred to a more remote friary near the town of Orta, but news of the holy friar's arrival soon spread. Up to 2,000 people a week came, wishing to be in his presence. Salvatore counseled them to examine their consciences, go to confession, and receive the sacraments. He then blessed them. Many reported that they were healed. A reputation for holiness can have its drawbacks. Though well-meaning, the public attention to Salvatore was relentless. Crowds would sometimes tear off pieces of his habit as relics. This recognition proved a nuisance to his fellow Franciscans, but Salvatore remained calm and humble, seeing himself as God's unworthy servant. He died in 1567 and was canonized in 1938. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning. It's 18 minutes after the hour. Thanks for tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. enjoying some three-day-old Irish soda bread from Friday.
Yeah, I wasn't here for St. Patrick's Day, so I wanted to live the moment.
Okay, well, probably now's not the good time because Daniel's waiting to talk to you.
Okay. Daniel, I am sorry. I'm munching along here. I thought it was Alicia's segment. I'm getting caught off guard here. Thanks for reminding me.
You're
and
welcome.
Let me swallow. Daniel Markham, he is here with us. So glad to be with us this morning, and we're glad to have you. He's got a new book out, folks. Listen to this. 52 Masses, A Journey to Experience Catholicism Across America. Now, we sometimes have a tough time just making mass in our own neighborhoods, but Daniel's going to tell us about his journey. And right out of the box, I got to ask you, what was it like?
Oh, it was the experience of a lifetime. I don't miss driving all over the country, but I really miss being there, meeting people, sharing the Eucharist with new folks. Experience different communities, different parishes of all sizes, of all types of different ethnic backgrounds. But just the universal church was there for me to see in just great detail, and it was I knew it was going to be great, and it exceeded every expectation I had.
Well, that's wonderful. Tell us, did you make a mass in the state of Louisiana or Mississippi?
I did. Both. One in each state. So in Louisiana, I went to Our Lady of Guadalupe International Shrine of St. Jude, right there in the French Quarter.
Oh, yeah.
We were there. We were there for Christmas. So my whole family got to come with me, which was rare. We did a little long weekend in New Orleans in December 2021. And we went there for the jazz mass, and I wrote about the role of music in the liturgy, and so it was just a wonderful time. And Mississippi, I went to Holy Child of Jesus in Canton to write about Sister Thea Bowman and her life and how she continues to influence life there in Mississippi. And I was blessed to speak to the and sit down and spend an afternoon with the sister who traveled with Sister Thea during the last years of her life, and she had a lot of stories to share with me, and presented me with a photo of Thea and her sister Thea and her parents. That's kind of the most treasured gift I got along the way. So
really,
so both of them were very special, very special trips for me.
Yeah, we're speaking to Daniel Markham in his new book, 52 Masses, A Journey to Experience Catholicism Across America. So tell me, how did you go about planning your journey? Or did you just hopscotch all around and go wherever your little heart desires or the Holy Spirit led you?
Well, the Holy Spirit definitely led me where I was going, but I knew where I was going every place.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I set out, a couple of years before I left, I sent out emails basically all over the country to parishes all over and just said, this is what I'm doing. If you have something at your parish you think would make a good addition to the book, let me know. And then I get all the things, and I tried to write a number of different stories that truly reflected all of the ways that we're living our faith as Catholics. So it could be a ministry, it could be an effort at evangelization, it could be education, history, art, just the so many ways that we have as Catholics of expressing our faith, of using our gifts to glorify God. And and so that was the idea, and I wanted to get as many types of churches of urban, rural, suburban, big, little, old, young, just telling that universal story of who we are as a Catholic people. And so I just tried to get a good balance of places. And then in June, I was initially intended to go in at the start of January of 2021 and just go through the whole year. Mm-hmm. Was kind of my original idea, and obviously COVID kind of laughed at that. So in June of 2021, I just basically took off and I went where it fit into my own work schedule, and just try to, you know, go, you know, local when it was, you know, when I needed to be closer to home, and then, you know, go on longer trips as needed, and, you know, spend a couple of weeks on the road that way, and just go where I could, it, you know. I had to be flexible as I learned it, but it was a wonderful trip.
Well, so. I know 52 masses sounds like you tried to do it in 52 weeks, but I'm guessing it took a little longer than that.
A little longer, but not much longer. It took about 14 months.
Okay.
From beginning to end, took about 14 months. Now, occasionally I would go, I did a couple of daily masses where it made sense. Like there was a school mass that I was writing about, so it made sense to go to the daily mass. Or a Catholic school. And so there are a couple of daily masses, and there were a few that I would do, a vigil mass one place and a Sunday mass the following day if the geography lent itself to it. and that just, you know, to get me home a little more frequently than I originally expected. So, overall it took about 14 months.
Yeah, and one of the unique situations you were in as far as attending Mass, tell us about your experience in Alaska with Father Scott.
that was one of the very first places I said, oh, I have to go there, because he invited me. He said, you know, come out and fly with me. You know, I'm a pilot, and I travel, you know, to the little villages. And I was terrified by the idea of it, but at the same time, I couldn't possibly pass it up. It didn't help when he told me that the previous priest had passed away in a plane crash. That was a little nervous there, made me a little more nervous, but it was great. I spent about 5 days with him in the rectory and out there in Western Alaska, and my first time there, and it was neat. That was just one of those that I had to do it, even though it was very frightening. But I did make sure I went like in June of because I wanted it to be as far away from Alaska's winters as possible.
I can imagine. So you're sharing some wonderful insight. How has this changed your life spiritually?
Oh gosh, it's dramatically. I feel just fundamentally different, and that was what I hoped. I mean, that I had goals for what I wanted to accomplish with the book and the trip, but there was that secondary set of goals of I wanted to come home a better Catholic, a better husband, a better father when I was returned. And I can't really be the judge of that, but I feel different. I feel more at peace. I feel more compassionate, more understanding, and certainly more connected to Christ than I ever have before. And I feel like I was so totally open to Mass, because this is why I was there. There were no distractions. There wasn't, anything to focus on Mass, on the Word, on the gospel reading, on everything, you know, on the sacrifice, everything that Mass has to offer. And that was, one thing that I kind of recognized is, Mass isn't, it's not an obligation, it's an opportunity. And I really felt that, as a result of this. And so, spiritually, I just feel, everything that I hoped I would feel when I set out. I feel that and more. I just feel closer to Christ than I ever have before.
Well, the beauty of being Catholic is no matter where you went, you knew what to expect at the Mass. And that in itself is a treasure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that there's a little bit of how this all started was that kind of my oldest son. He's currently in Tanzania working as a refugee resettlement officer. But he loved the world. That was his obsession growing up, maps and atlases and foreign language. So we used to go to foreign language services wherever we could. And there's a little parish in our community that was built by Lithuanian immigrants that we had attended. And it was a reminder of that parish that kind of really opened kind of me up to getting this, the idea of being planted in me by the Holy Spirit. And I really felt like, because we would go to these, we didn't speak any Lithuanian, but you don't need to
right.
speak the language even to experience all the beauty of the Mass. You know, and I mean, I think, you know, the people who go to the Latin Mass would feel that, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, fluent in Latin, but you can understand, you can share that. And so you have this wonderful thing where you have, wherever you go in the world, you can sit down at Mass and you have the Mass, but then you can also see these subtle differences and appreciate each culture and what it, you know, and how they celebrate it and how it maybe differs a little bit from what you're used to at home, but you can appreciate their culture, you can appreciate you know, all of that, but all at the center of it is that Mass that unites us all.
You bet. Well said. Daniel Markham, new book, 52 Masses, A Journey Experience of Catholicism Across America. Go to 52masses.com. We've got more on Wake Up.
Good morning. It's 35 minutes after the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth on Catholic Community Radio, where you're listening to Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quivino with Damian Collado. Today is a chilly Monday, March 20th. It is the Solemnity of St. Joseph. So hopefully you got to visit some St. Joseph's altars yesterday and had some fig cookies and offered some prayers to St. Joseph this morning.
Yeah. So, were you able to attend a St. Joseph altar?
I was not. I was running the roads with our daughter, getting her back to Lafayette. But how about you?
I was coming home from Lafayette too, visiting the in-laws, and
yes.
But I did. Someone did drop off some little tasty treats.
Look at you!
So I was there in spirit.
Good. Well, good. Well, hey, it's Monday, and that means our friend Alan Miglerato joins us. He is the founder of Adventure Catholic Youth Leadership Formation Training. He's the author of The Manly Art of Raising a Daughter and co-author of Failing Forward: Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. Good morning, Alan.
Hey, good morning, y'all, and a happy belated St. Patrick's Day.
Well, thank you. Same to you, and happy to a current St. Joseph's Day.
Yeah.
To you.
Yes, that's right. Celebrity of St. Joseph.
That's right. That's right. Well, Alan, when we were visiting on Friday, you said I could surprise you with a topic for today. So all weekend I was thinking about it, and then literally I was driving along and heard a commercial, and it just smacked me. Like, we got to talk about St. Joseph and about dads and the importance of dads in the lives of our children. How do you think about that? What do you think?
I think it's a fantastic topic. And St. Joseph, you know, I was talking to my man the other day. Honestly, it was like a week and a half ago, and we were talking about St. Joseph. And I said, yeah, it's a great role model for men is to have St. Joseph as a role model. And he said, you know, the bar is set a little, you know. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, what do you mean? It's like, we don't have to live the exact same life as St. Joseph, but St. Joseph really, really does give us a great bar to set for our own lives as men, because he's present, constantly present. He's constantly responsive and reflective, and he's always showing love. And just the power of being present as a man for our family, as being the shepherd for our family, is such an important thing that honestly, I think too many men just kind of walk away from, you know, a struggle or from their marriage, and for whatever reason. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons that, you know, marriages are difficult, you know, and that's mm-hmm. part of life. You know, we have to work through those things. But St. Joseph was faced with all these things, and think about how many times that he wakes up, right, and moves. And I think that's so symbolic for us. Like, we need to wake up as men and move from where we are, follow what the Lord's telling us to do, even if it's uncomfortable, but always keeping our family's safety and protecting them first. And St. Joseph does such a wonderful job of that, you know, throughout Scripture.
Yes.
And he doesn't say a word. I mean, everything that he does, we don't hear one word from St. Joseph in Scripture at all.
Right.
Not one word, but we see his actions. And so many times, you know, as a father and as a husband, it's so easy to, you know, to say something and then to do something else. You know, do what I say, not what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's easy to talk the talk, but not walk the walk. as long as you're not watching me, you're going to think I'm a great dad. But that's not what St. Joseph is about, you know, and he just does. He just does things, and it's, they're always with a focus on God, and it's not always a, you know, like a long, you know, think about Job. You know, you got pages and pages of monologues going on in Job, and that's important too. But mm-hmm. St. Joseph's actions are so important for us as men because it gives us, you know, that path to follow and something to shoot for.
You're right. Talk about the importance, Alan, for carrying on the faith as a father. You know, we hear statistics that kids are more likely to continue practicing their faith if they see their father practice their faith.
Yeah, that was, so my dad, he was very knowledgeable about the faith. He did not really follow a lot of the things that we were supposed to follow as Catholics. You know, he had many like extramarital affairs, and he did a lot of things that, you know, I tried to correct in my own life. Mm-hmm. And so there's, you know, there's that. But then my mom really didn't know anything about the faith, and she lived it out. So, I mean, she was born Catholic, but, you know, that cradle Catholic mentality sometimes that we just, you know, do things without knowing why. I mean, she lives out her life as a wonderful Catholic. I think it's so important to marry those two, is to have the knowledge that we're willing to turn into wisdom by praying for it, and to live out those lives, our lives, you know, for our kids. It's such an important thing because kids pick up on stuff. And if the father of the family, like you're asking, if the father of the family, the head of the household, the, you know, given that authority by God to the husbandry of to be husbands for our wives and shepherds for our children, if they see us doing something, they'll follow it. And, you know, it was one of those things where I didn't follow what I should have been following when I was a teenager, because I was used to watching what my dad was doing. But thank God my mom was kind of leading the right path by her life. So she was more the St. Joseph in my family. But, you know, as you grow, you kind of realize, like, that's not the right thing to do. And my mom's living a certain way and my dad's living a certain way. And I want the best of both of those. And
yes.
So, yeah, it's very important for us fathers to be the point man, you know, to be out in front, to be leading, to be, you know, to be creating those paths and encouraging our kids to follow us. And really, like St. Joseph, watching, like, being a man for your family and saying a rosary and letting your kids see you say the rosary, mm-hmm. or making sure, hey, don't take a bite of that food till we pray. You know, like, we're praying. I don't care if we're at a restaurant. I don't care if we're at, mm-hmm. you know, a church that they invited us to come here for dinner and it's not a Catholic church. We're making the sign of the cross and we're praying, mm-hmm. not to show off, but just because that's who we are. Right. And that resoluteness, that fortitude of being, you know, not afraid and being bold in our faith, and I think that's what a lot of us are missing as men.
You know, I think that's a great point you make, Alan. But, you know, it's interesting, just yesterday, so my daughter was home from college and we're all sitting in Mass, and my husband is more of a St. Joseph. He is a quiet kind of, his faith is more interior, although he does lead us in prayer. And but I'm sitting there and I look down the pew and I'm sitting next to Donovan and I look at our children and they look like they are so incredibly bored. It was, and it's almost, you know, it's a little bit heartbreaking, mm-hmm. you know, and whether that's where, you know, just their prayerful faces they make, maybe, I'm hoping, but, you know, it can be discouraging as a parent when you feel like you're trying really to build up your children in the faith. You're trying to make all the right decisions. You look over and you think, man, I wouldn't want to be the priest preaching to these people, right? Because they just look miserable. Yeah. But hopefully on the inside, they're not. Can you give me hope, Alan?
Yeah. Yes, I hope I can give you. I'm hoping that I can give you hope here. I do a lot of speaking engagements, and right? Mm-hmm. And so, especially to teenagers, sometimes I'll go, hey, man, you look really bored. Is there something that I could do? Anybody have anything I could juggle while I'm talking? You know, and as a joke. And it's more sarcasm, but really... Yeah. We don't have to entertain. We just have to make sure that our kids understand what the Mass is about. Right. And I always say this, if St. John Vianney said, if we ever really understood what the Mass was about, we would all die of joy.
Yes.
So there's times where we're going to look bored. Maybe they just need that at that time. Maybe that's how their face looks when, you know, they're absorbing. My daughter, my middle daughter, would always draw, like doodle, when I was talking to her. And I was like, will you put that pen down, for the love of God, child? I'm trying to tell you something that's good for you. She's like, I heard every word you said. And when she was little, I was like, okay, repeat every word I said. And she did. So I was like, oh, okay, well, forget
she's a multitasker. That's
yeah,
good.
So you got to be. I would ask them, hey, why, are you guys bored? You know what? Why we're here, right? The guy on the cross. That's why we're
right,
here. So,
right.
And honestly, like, just ask. You know, but they might need that. I'm sure I look bored. I drift off sometimes, especially like in adoration. Like, I'll be focused, and then my mind will catch something, and I'm like, oh, I'm looking at the wall. I'm counting the ceiling tiles. There's like 478 ceiling tiles in our, like, over the altar in our church. How do I know that? Because obviously I was bored one day and counted them. But the message sinks in,
yes,
right? And so
yes,
that's important too.
You're right. That does surprise me sometimes driving home from Mass when somebody comments, one of the kids comment on something that our pastor said, and then I realize, oh, okay, they were listening. They weren't sleeping with their eyes open or anything like that. So, and important, I guess, too, to remember they are teenagers and things will happen. So, well, Alan, it's always a pleasure to visit with you. Listeners can check you out at adventurecatholic.com. They can also find you on social media. Adventure Catholic.
That's right. God bless you guys.
All right.
Have
God
a great
bless
week.
You. Thank you. Same to you. Alan Migurado, Adventure Catholic Youth Leadership Formation Training. Hey, stick around. Heidi Garrity will join us to talk about PACE GNO. It is 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. Good morning. It's 12 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. We're joined this morning on the Solemnity of St. Joseph by Heidi Garrity. Heidi is a registered dietitian for PACE GNO and Padua Community Services at Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're so happy to have you with us. You do so many wonderful things in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and I love talking about this topic this morning. So we're just going to start with the basics. Tell us why it's important to keep elderly and those living with disabilities, give them good nutrition and keeping them healthy.
Well, you know, nutrition plays a part in our immune system, helping us maintaining a healthy nutritional status, mm-hmm. can help us fight infections, having a healthy muscle mass and keeping a healthy muscle mass can help our bones and keep our strength up, and also mm-hmm. just from social eating issues. Uh-huh. Nutrition, eating food is can play a large part in our social relating to others, emotional status. So
yes,
we take it into as a whole team approach.
Wow, that's wonderful. So tell us how Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans helps those individuals with their nutrition and being on a healthy path, whether they've been there and continuing it or if you need to redirect them.
Yes, ma'am. The PACE program is an all-inclusive program for the elderly, and it's a wonderful team approach that provides an adult day program for the elderly, and on site we have many disciplines. We have social services, therapies, physicians, nurses, recreational therapists, and of course the dietitian, and we work all together to help keep the elderly healthy. As part of the PACE day program, we also provide nutritious meals, lunch, and a snack. The Padua Community Services provides residential facilities to the disabled. People who need care in a group program, in a compassionate program, where we provide on-site nursing, and of course the nutrition, medical, and all of the therapies.
Wow. So let us know. So you are a registered dietitian. So let us know some food choices that help maintain that good nutrition, that nutritional health as we age.
Sure. One of the important nutrients that we need to maintain as we age is dietary fiber. As we age, everything tends to slow down, including our intestinal tract. And so consuming an adequate amount of high-fiber foods will help keep everything, like I would say, moving.
Mm-hmm.
That would include whole grains. Oatmeal is probably one of the best foods as far as healthy fiber choice, brown rice, beans, and such. But along with the fiber intake, we really want to focus on maintaining an adequate fluid intake.
Okay.
Most of us, unless prescribed differently by a physician, need about 6 cups of fluid a day. Of course, water is the best, but anything that is liquid at room temperature really counts as fluid. Fruit juice, decaffeinated beverages, even foods like Jell-O can count as a fluid.
Okay.
In addition, as we age, we need to look specifically at certain vitamins that we have increased need and or decreased absorption. Vitamin D helps keep our bones healthy, and that is found in milk and dairy products, even lactose-free milk or other substitutes. And then, of course, your B vitamins.
Okay. Did I hear you say room temperature liquids for hydration, or did I mishear that?
Well, yes. A lot of times people think, well, I have to drink 6 cups of water a day. And
okay.
water, of course, is the best. But any liquid can count towards hydration. So if somebody would prefer juice or maybe a decaffeinated beverage, or maybe mixing some mineral water with a little fruit juice, making a natural soda.
Okay.
And then any food that is made of liquid that kind of becomes liquid at room temperature, like Jell-O.
I see what you mean.
That would also count as fluid. Yes,
I see. So popsicles, that kind of thing. Okay. Okay. Now,
yeah.
now tell us, so you all provide all these wonderful services. How can people advocate for healthier lifestyles for elderly and for those with disabilities?
Well, I think the big factor as we age is the potential for social isolation and also the ability to do things for yourself, self-care.
Mm-hmm.
We may have arthritis or physical limitations. So if you do know an elderly person who is perhaps living on their own, you know, maybe check in, provide a meal, invite them out to eat. One of the benefits of a day program is that all participants get to interact and have that social eating component.
Yes.
Shopping may become difficult for the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you go to the grocery store, ask if you can, you know, pick up anything for that person. And often eating is linked to social issues, happiness. So if somebody is living alone, they may not feel, you know, like eating. So kind of keep that in mind and, you know, keep them in your social circle and then check on the elderly.
Okay, wonderful. So, and Heidi, I know that you provide a lot of these services through charitable care. How can our listeners learn more about Padua Community Homes and PACE GNO and perhaps contribute to your efforts?
Well, there's a website for PACE GNO is www.ccano.org, and that would also include information on both PACE and the, you know, any services offered by the Catholic Charities.
Okay, okay, wonderful. Heidi Garrity, registered dietitian with PACE GNO and Padua Community Services with Catholic Charities in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Thank you so much for joining us on Wake Up this morning, Heidi.
Yes, thank you for including me and have a blessed day.
Thank you, you too. You can find out more information at ccano.org. Great things happening in the Archdiocese.
Oh, yeah, and trying to do everything we can to keep our elderly healthy, for
That's
sure.
Right. That's right.
All right, and being the solemnity of St. Joseph, we're going to close our show with a prayer to St. Joseph, if we can. One of my favorites to him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. O St. Joseph, whose protection is so great, so strong, so prompt before the throne of God, I place in you all my interest and desires. O St. Joseph, do assist me by your powerful intercession, and obtain for me, from your divine Son, all spiritual blessings, through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that having engaged here below your heavenly power, I may offer my thanksgiving and homage to the most loving of fathers. O Saint Joseph, I never weary contemplating you, and Jesus asleep in your arms, I dare not approach while he reposes near your heart. Press him in my name and kiss his fine head for me, and ask him to return the kiss when I draw my dying breath. Saint Joseph, patron of departing souls, pray for us. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Love that prayer. It's so beautiful. Well, we're so happy you joined us this morning on Wake Up. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning. We'll have events in the listening area. We'll talk about a new book by Katie Warner, One Holy Marriage. Aaron Beam will be back to continue his conversion story. And Father Augustine talks about a book, Pray, Think, Act. Make better decisions with the Desert Fathers. Thank you again for joining Damien and I this morning. Have a blessed day.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.